There is sort of this unwritten rule that until Purim ends, you're not really allowed to talk about Pesach. If you mention something about Pesach cleaning, Pesach preparation, anything about Pesach before Purim, you get a lot of reactions of stop, stop, stop. It's not even Purim. We can't be thinking about Pesach yet. You're stressing me out. You're overwhelming me. But this is not just an arbitrary, we decided that you can only deal with one holiday at a time. As we're going to see tonight, if you look in the Gemara Maseches Psachim, it seems that there's actually a halachic basis for saying that we should begin speaking about Pesach as soon as Purim is over. So if you look in source number one, in the Gemara Maseches Psachim, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, HaMefarish V'hayotze B'shayre, Kodem Shloshim Yom, En Zakuk Leva'er, Toch Shloshim Yom, Zakuk Leva'er. Rav Yehuda said that Rav said, with regard to one who sets sail or one who departs in a caravan, traveling to a distant place, if he did so before it was 30 days before Pesach, and he need not remove the leaven from his possession. If he departs within 30 days of the Yom Tov, he must remove the leaven. So this is saying that if someone were to set out for a trip, and one was leaving within 30 days before Pesach, one would be obligated to remove all of the chametz from where you left from. If it was not within 30 days, so if it was more than 30 days away from Pesach, one would not be required to remove the chametz. One's like, that's crazy. Why would you leave somewhere 30 days before and even think about clearing out the chametz? The answer is, when we actually left from Eye to Crown before COVID, I remember so clearly we were leaving, it was whatever it was, the beginning of March before Purim, when schools were closing down, and someone said to us, clean out your desks in case we're not back in time for Pesach. And we looked at them as if they had five heads and said, why in the world would we not be back in this school before Pesach? Lo and behold, we did not go back into the school for much longer than before Pesach. So the idea is that if you leave from somewhere prior to 30 days before Pesach, it's long enough that we can assume that you don't need to clean for Pesach before that. But if you are leaving out on a journey within the 30 days before Pesach, we say that you should clean out the chametz because there is a likelihood that you will not be back there before Pesach comes. Okay, Hani Shloshim Yom Mai Avi Du Tehu, Kiditani Shoalim Vidurshim Behilchos HaPesach, Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. So, what is the purpose of this seemingly arbitrary number of days of 30 days that makes it significant? And it says that it was taught in a Braita that one should begin learning the halachos of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. So this is a very commonly thrown around idea that Darshin Behilchos HaPesach, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. That 30 days before Pesach is when we begin learning the halachot of Pesach. Where does this idea of 30 days come from, though? Shehare Moshe Omid BePesach Rishon Umazhir al Pesach Sheni. That when did Moshe command us about Pesach Sheni? On Pesach Rishon, so on 30 days before the second Pesach. Shene Emar V'yasuhu B'nei Yisrael al HaPesach B'moado. V'chtiv V'yehi Anashim Asher Hayu Tmeim LeNefesh Adam. So when there were individuals who were tamei and they could not bring the Korban Pesach, they came on that day on Pesach itself, and Moshe commanded about Pesach Sheni. So we developed this idea of Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, 30 days before Pesach. There is this new time period in which we seem to be connecting that time to Pesach itself. That during that time we're Dorshin B'Hilchos HaPesach, we learn the Halachos of Pesach, and during that time, the arrival of Pesach is something that you need to be acutely aware of, that your actions must be guided by the fact that Pesach is going to come within that period. However, in the Gemara Maseches Megillah, there seems to be a contradictory idea that talks about preparing for the upcoming Yom Tov, but does not give this period of 30 days. Moshe tikin lahem li'Yisrael, shiyu shoalin v'dorshin be'inyano shel yom. Moshe set for Bnei Yisrael that there was this idea that before the Yom Tov, they should be shoalin v'dorshin, they should be preparing for the Yom Tov. Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, before Pesach, they should be learning the halachot of Pesach. Hilchos Atzeret Ba'atzeret, the laws of Shavuos on Shavuos, v'Hilchos Chag B'Chag, and the laws of Sukkos before Sukkos. But no mention here of any period of 30 days, only that one should be preparing prior to the Yom Tov by learning the halachot of the Yom Tov. So the Rishonim are going to discuss this question. Is 30 days significant, or is 30 days insignificant? So the Ran says in source number 3, Moshe tikin lahem li'Yisrael sheyusho alin v'dorshin v'inyano shel yom, helchos pesach v'kulei. Kilomar sheshoalin v'farshin helchoseihen. The Ran says, this idea that Moshe taught them about Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni gives us this idea that one should be learning the halachos of that Yom Tov before the Yom Tov that is coming. V'hada amrinam be'alma sho'alim behelchos ha'pesach kodem la'pesach lamed yom. For those who say specifically that one should be learning before Pesach 30 days, ha'unya na acharinahu delav lememar demechayvin mehai zimna ledrosh behelchos ha'pesach ela lomar. So he says, one that asks about the halachot of Pesach 30 days before Pesach, that is a different issue, as it does not mean that one is obligated to expound on the halachos of Pesach from that time. So just because Moshe commanded about the halachos of Pesach 30 days beforehand, doesn't mean that one is obligated to study the halachos of Pesach during that entire time period. Rather, it means that anyone who asks a question about Pesach during that time is talking about Inyan HaDiyuma. That once you get into the 30-day period prior to the Yom Tov, you're now on topic. That if you ask a question about the Yom Tov, you're considered to be asking about something that is timely. He says this is not an obligation that one should start learning the halachos 30 days before. Rather, we just say that when one is within the 30-day period before the Yom Tov, it's considered as if they're discussing timely matters. So he says this is not a command that one must learn halachos of Pesach that entire time. Rather, that if one does learn the halachos of Pesach up to 30 days beforehand, one is timely. So those who say, I don't want to hear about Pesach until after Purim, have grounds to stand on that the Ran said at that point after Purim, it's considered that you're timely. If it's beforehand, then you're talking about Pesach before it's Pesach time. However, it seems that Tosfos disagrees with the Ran and holds that there is an obligation both to study the halachot for 30 days beforehand, as well as the obligation to study the halachot on the holiday itself. So Tosfos says in source number 4, Afilu yom tov de darshinan shloshim yom lefanav, afilu hachi darshinan bo ki biyom kiditanya vedaber Moshe et moadei Hashem. So Tosfos says there are two obligations to learn about a holiday, on the holiday itself and 30 days before the holiday. The Beis Yosef quotes the explanation of the Ran and then suggests the following additional explanation to resolve the contradiction. So in source number 5, V'od yesh lomar, didini Pesach al kol panim, tzarich lehudiam la'am kodem la'Pesach shloshim yom, kidei sheyeh lahem shehut rav lehitasek bebechinat tachitim, ve'afiyat matzah, ve'hagalas kelim, ve'beir chamit, de'ilu bepesach, leit lav takanta, ilo ivdu lehun kehilchetehu mikai mehachi. The Beis Yosef says, Pesach is very unique, that if you don't study the halachos beforehand, then you're not going to be prepared for Pesach, because there's so much that you have to do in order to prepare. You have to kasher the kelim, you have to prepare the wheat, you have to prepare the matzos, you have to do all of these things beforehand leading up to Pesach. So if you only wait until Pesach to begin to learn Hilchos Pesach, then you're going to be very behind. The Haditanya Shoalim Behelchos Pesach Bepesach Behelchos Chag Bechag, Haini Lidrosh Betaamim Sheba Avuram Nitzta Vinu Bemawed Hahu, the Gam Kain Lidrosh Bedvarim Shaaser Vemutter La Asopi Yom Tov. So then what exactly are you supposed to be learning on Pesach itself? What is the obligation to learn on Pesach? And there he said, the learning that should be done on Pesach itself is not everything that you need to do to prepare for Yom Tov. That has to have been done beforehand so that you're appropriately prepared. But on the Yom Tov itself, that's when you can delve into the reasons for why we're commanded different things, more specific explanations as to why we're doing certain things, but the general halachot all have to be learned beforehand. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the language of the Braita Pesachim almost word for word. So in source number 6, Shoalim b'Hilchos HaPesach Kodem l'Pesach Shloshim Yom. The Shulchan Aruch brings it down the halacha that 30 days before Pesach begins is when we should begin studying the halachos of Pesach. The Be'er Halacha, though, notes there are actually two versions of the text in the Gemara. One that says Shoalin, and one that says Shoalin v'Darshin. So if you look in source number 7, Shoalin, b'tor ita Shoalin v'Darshin. V'hu gegirsat ha-Gemara di'ilan b'psachim da'afav, u'b'b'choros da'af nonchan. V'b'rif ha-gersa Shoalin levad. So he says there are certain places where this braita is quoted where it says shoalin, only asking, and there are places where it says shoalin v'dorshin. And he says it seems to me that there is no difference between these two. It's a kavana achadhi because they both have the same intention. That both of them are telling you that you should be investigating and delving into the halachos of Pesach before Pesach starts. V'chein ita b'Rashi Rosh Hashanah daf Zayin v'b'Bavakama daf Kuf Yud Gimel shehayu dorshin b'Rabin b'Hilchos HaPesach kodem l'Pesach shloshim yom. And we see that this does appear in also a number of places that this is what they did, that they delved into the halachos of Pesach 30 days before Pesach began. Achin b'Ran Perak Kuf Mem Aleph. De Psachim, v'perek kama de Megillah amar, de Masha amar shoalin haynu, de bazazman im ba'u bet talmidim ve'achad sha'al b'hilchos ha'pesach nizkakin lo kodem. V'dvarav hin divrei harashba b'sof perek revi'i de Megillah. So the Ran gives us a more specific explanation. You can just say that it's the same. Whether it says Shoalin or whether it says Shoalin v'Dorshin, they're both saying the same thing, that 30 days before Pesach, you should be delving into the halachos of Pesach. However, the Ran in two places, both in Pesachim and Megillah, says that when it says Shoalin, it's enlightening us about a specific situation in which two students came to the teacher and one asked about the halachos of Pesach. It's him that we should answer first. So if there's two students, they come with two different questions. One is about Hilchos Pesach and it's within the 30 days before Pesach. We should answer him before we answer the other student. However, a number of Rishonim disagree with the Ran. Aval kama Rishonim pligei aleihu. Rashi b'kama mekomo, v'tosfos b'perek kama de Megillah daf dalid, v'harukeach b'kulhu mivoar lehadeh, d'chiyav lidrosh mikodem b'helchos ha'pesach shloshim yom. V'chein be'itor ha'atik ha'gersa shoalin v'dorshin, v'chein be'er zeruah, v'gam ikar inyan muchach kin. De'ilu mipnei shenizkakin l'talmid sheshoal ke'inyan, lo shayach lomar de'mishum zeh yizalzelu b'chametz. De'ein kan persum klal, bazeh shemishiv l'talmid kisheshoal. Im kein, nimtza da'at ha'ran v'harash b'yichidehen, heim neged kol ha'rishonim ha'nesgarim la'ayel. V'al kol panim b'beis medrash b'chaburot, b'vaday yesh chiyav lomod shloshim yom kodem, af l'divrei ha'Yerushalmi. So a number of Rishonim disagree with him. Rashi, Tosfos, the Rokeach, and from all of them, it is clear that there is an obligation to expound on the halachos of Pesach 30 days beforehand. So whereas the Ran is saying that it's not a specific obligation to learn 30 days beforehand, rather you would prioritize the learning of the halachos of Pesach 30 days before the Yom Tov. All of the other Rishonim listed here, Rashi, Tosfos, the Rokeach, all are saying that there is an explicit obligation to learn the halachos of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. Rav Ovadia Yosef then offers a lengthy defense of the Ran and rejects the opinion of the Be'er Halacha that the halacha does not follow the Ran, because the Be'er Halacha concludes here that we rule against the Ran because the Rashi, Tosfos, the Rokeach all rule opposite the Ran. But in Yabia Omer, in source number 8, Rav Ovadia Yosef defends the Ran. V'le'inyan dina, hinei psak maran b'shulchan aruch, shoalin b'hilchos ha'pesach kodem l'pesach shloshim yom. V'katav ha'mishne brura b'be'er halacha, So first, he summarizes the words of the Be'er Halacha that presents the words, the opinion of the Ran, and presents the opinion of all of the other Rishonim, and says that we rule according to all of the other Rishonim. V'terem a'ana amarti la'ha'ir ozen. But before I answer, I want to perk up the ear that in truth, ki be'emet da'at harbeya poskim kemoshe be'aro harashba v'haran. There are many other poskim that rule according to the Rashba and the Ran. Ve'einam yichidim ba'zeh klal, nimtza'im lefaninu chaval nevi'im hamitnabim b'signon echad, ketirut echad shel habis Yosef, ve'kemo shekatov kein b'shulchan aruch. Halohim haramban v'harashba v'haritva v'haran v'maharam halva'a v'hamiri v'harashbat, l'chein nir'e l'aniyot ati, She'ikar kida'at Maran habis Yosef ha'shulchan aruch she'in chiyuv gamor lomod hilchos Pesach mipurim ve'ilach v'mutar l'kol talmid chacham hamshich b'limudo b'makom shelibo chafetz. So Rav Avadia makes an interesting distinction. He says there are a number of Rishonim that agree with the Ran that there isn't an explicit obligation to learn the halachos of Pesach 30 days beforehand, rather that within that time, learning Hilchos Pesach is timely. So, what is the practical nafka mina of this? He says that a Talmud Chacham who is in the middle of another learning doesn't have to stop their learning in order to learn Hilchos Pesach. If there was an obligation that was all you were able to learn during this time, then they would have to do so. But he said this is allowing room for a Talmud Chacham to continue with their learning, but it's appropriate that if you can, to learn Hilchos Pesach. Okay, so we have the opinion of the Ran, which is that it's not an explicit obligation. We have the opinion of Rashi, the Tosfos, the Rokeach, that all say the other direction, that there is an explicit obligation to learn Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. The Be'er Halacha rules according to the majority of the Rishonim, but Rav Ovadia Yosef defends the Ran, saying that there are also many Rishonim that rule according to his opinion, and that what they're saying is not that you should not learn Hilchos Pesach Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, but that if you're in the middle of another limud, another type of learning, you are able to continue with that learning. So that is why we are at this point beginning the study of the Halachos of Pesach. That it is appropriate because there is so much to prepare for Pesach. To begin learning about Pesach 30 days beforehand. Specifically, the topic that we are going to be learning about, which is the halachos of bedikas and bi'ur chametz, you obviously have to learn beforehand, because if you wait to learn about bedikas chametz and bi'ur chametz until on Pesach, you are already very much so behind. So you have to start learning it beforehand. So over the next 4 weeks, we are going to be delving into the halachos of bedikas chametz. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to discuss briefly the reason for bedikas chametz. Why do we do this check for chametz? Again, just to review, what is bedikas chametz? The night before Pesach, on Erev Pesach, we all know you hide the 10 pieces of chametz around your house after you've already cleaned out all of the other chametz, and you go around and you search your house with the feather and the spoon and the flame, and you go around and you search for chametz. What is the reason for doing so? Why are we doing this check for the chametz? So let's begin with the Mishnah, the beginning of Maseches Psachim, that records the obligation to search for chametz on the night before Pesach. Each of the things I just mentioned is going to have their specific explanation, but we have to start with the basic essence of what we're doing, which is that the Mishnah indicates to us that we need to have a search for chametz on the night before Pesach. So if we look in the Mishnah, Psachim Aleph Aleph, this is the very first Mishnah in Maseches Psachim, source number 9. Or la'arba'asar, bodkim et ha'chametz l'or haner. On the eve of Arba'asar, on the eve of the 14th of Nisan, you check for chametz l'or haner by the light of a candle. Kol makom she'in machnisim bo chametz, any place that you don't put chametz, ein tzarich bedika, you don't need to do a check. So, what is the specific reason why Chazal enacted this search for chametz? So if we look in Rashi in source number 10, Botkin, Shaloya Avoralav, Bibal Yira'a, Ubibal Yemata. That we do Bidikas Chametz so that we should not be over on the commandments of Bal Yira'a and Bal Yemata, that you should not see and you should not find any Chametz in your home. That how are you going to be sure that you are not going to find any Chametz and you're not going to see any Chametz if you haven't checked to make sure that you got rid of all of the chametz? So it's very practical. In the last moment, the night before Pesach, you're doing that final check to make sure that you are getting rid of all of the chametz. Tosfot, though, has a questions Rashi on the premise that there cannot be a Torah violation here. Since Mido writes on the Torah level, the chametz is rendered ownerless simply through bitul chametz. So we all know that you also do this other component, which is bitul chametz, that you declare that any chametz that you still do have is ka'afra de'ara. It's like the dust of the land. So how can it be that we are enacting a rabbinic law here of bedikas chametz when we already have a halacha mida oraita that protects us from the same thing? So if we look in Tosfos in source number 11, Orla arba'asar botkin et chametz. Pirish hakuntres shelo la'avor alav bebal yira'o bal yimata. V'kashalari, kivan ditzarich bitol kada amar b'gemara, habodik tzarich sheyivatel. The Gemara already taught us that everyone who does bedika also needs to do bitol chametz, also needs to make their any chametz that is found hefker. V'mida oraita b'bitol ba'al masage, and mida oraita, according to the Torah, you are yotze by doing this bitol. Amai hitzrichu chachamim bedika klaus, then why did the chachamim enact this check at all? Vinir alari, it is apparent to the re, de afalgav de sagi bibitl ba'alma, hechmiru chachamim livdok chamit vilivaro, shaloya vola achlo. That it's not just so that we shouldn't be over on bal yira'a ubal yimata, because that we would be yote if we just did bitl, we just made it hefker. However, the chachamim were machmir, that we should also check for chamit, so that we can get rid of it, so that we can burn it, so that you don't come to eat it. V'chein mashma lekaman, divai rava kekar b'shmei kura, odilma zimnan lenafal ve'ati lemichlehu. And this is also evident from the Gemara later on, where Rava inquired if there is a loaf of bread on a high beam, or perhaps sometimes it falls and he will come to eat it. That the concern and the reason why we do bedikas chametz is so that we're able to get rid of the chametz. That ultimately, we don't really want to end up with chametz in our home, even if it's hefker. We don't want to, even though we would not technically be over on bal yira'a and bal yimata, that you cannot see chametz and you cannot own chametz, because it would be hefker. But there is the risk that one could potentially come to eat it. If my kids were, let's say, exploring my house and they found an entire box of Cheerios that I hadn't gotten rid of because they didn't realize to check for it, even though I would say to them, it's hefker, if they come to eat it, they've still eaten chametz on Pesach. So the idea being that even if we were to be mevatel the chametz, so it's not technically a problem, you still run the risk of coming to eat the chametz because it's still found in your home. So the Ran resolves the question against Rashi and defends Rashi's explanation. So in source number 12, v'yesh lomar d'mi de'oraita b'chad minei husagi. According to the Torah, we would be okay with one of them, either bedika or bitul. Kilomar, o bedika o bebitul, de bedika l'choda nami mehane, v'kol shabadak min ha-Torah eino tzarich lebatel. According to the Torah, if you did a bedika, if you did a check, then you wouldn't also have to do bitul. Helkach shapir icha lemeimar, de bedika ati kedei shelo yavor alav beba'al yira'e, shema shehetzrichu chachamim bitul acher, a bitl achar habedika eino ela midivrehem. Shema yimata guluskia yefifia vidate alavai kidita begimara. Ela, kahu ikaran sheldvarim, shezesha amra Torah, tashbitu. The Torah tells us that we should destroy. Yahul hit kayin beachar mishne dvarim. This can be accomplished in one of two ways. O sheyevatel bilipo kolachamet yish bershuto. You can either do bitl, you can nullify any of the chametz that is found in your property, v'yotzianu b'machshavato mirushuto, and in your mind you remove it from your property, v'sagi b'hachi d'mida oraita afilu b'chametz hayadua lo. And this works mida oraita even with chametz that you know about. O imlo batlo b'libo klal, Or if you don't nullify it in your heart at all, tzarich min haTorah sheyivdok acharav b'chol makom shehu ragil lehimatzei sham v'yavirenu min haolam. So the Torah gives you two options. You can either nullify it from your heart, or you can actually do the check and remove it from your home. V'lefichach katav Rashi shebodkin et hachametz kedei shelo yavor alav b'bal yirata u'b'bal yimatzeh. V'haynu lemi she'eino mevatel. This is for someone who is not doing bittul, that Rashi tells them that you should check for chametz so that you're not over on Baal Yira'ah or Baal Yimatzeh. Aval misha lemisha mevatel sagi b'hachi. But for someone who is going to do bittul, you are exempt with just that. Ela mipnei shebittul zeh taloi b'machshavatan shel b'nei adam. Because this bittul, this nullification, is dependent upon a human being's thoughts. And not all people think equally. It's possible that they will not do this bittul correctly. They will not correctly fully nullify it from their hearts. So therefore, the Chachamim were machmir, and they require that we do bittul and bedika, so that we check for it and we nullify it in our hearts. Because there's possible, you possibly run into problems. If you leave it in your home, you could possibly come to eat it. And if you only do bittul, then you can come to not actually be mevatel it properly. So just to sort of cover all of the bases, the Chachamim declared that you should do both bedika and bittul. So you should physically check and remove it from the home and also nullify it in your hearts. So according to the Ran, bedika is required on a rabbinic level, even though bittul is effective on a Torah level, either due to the concern that one may not sincerely nullify the chametz, but merely declare it ownerless while still mentally maintaining ownership, or the concern that one may mistakenly eat it on Pesach. Rabbi Akiva Eiger questions the first possible concern, though, for the following reason. There is a well-known halacha that dvarim shebaliv inan dvarim, mental thoughts are not considered halachically binding. If so, then one's verbal declaration to nullify the chametz should nevertheless be binding, even if one did not truly mean it. So Rabbi Akiva answers the following. In source number 13, v'sarich lomar, kivan de be'emet lashon bittul, lo have hefker mamish. Even if you would say that maybe someone did not fully nullify in their hearts, when they did bittul, rak giloi dea lemasha bilibo, she'ino choshvo v'nechshav lo ke'afra. That even if one says out loud, but they don't really believe it, that it will reveal that they don't really think of it as dust of the earth. Kivan de'enu danin al masha bilibo, dehainu b'derech giloi milta masha b'da'ato, ve'im b'da'ato eno kein, ena bittul klum. So since we are evaluating what is in one's heart, meaning in a manner of revealing his intent, then if that is not his intent, then the bittul is meaningless. That usually we don't judge based on people's intentions, we judge based on their statement. But the statement of bittul chametz is really just expressing what we have done in our hearts. That bittul is something that you must do mentally. It's something that you must feel that what you own no longer belongs to you. So it's not like we're saying, did you have kavana for a certain bracha that you said? We're saying, did you actually do the internal work that you are stating out loud that you did? And therefore, if you did not properly do bittul in your heart, you did not really nullify it from your possession in your heart, then it isn't nullified. You haven't done what you needed to do, even if you've said the words. Vimkin, yesh lo ta'ama rabba dehefker adif mibitzel, dehefker bevaday yata chametz mirshuto, delav yehei hayabili bo behifuch havi dvarim shebaliv. So that's why we have a good reason to believe that hefker is stronger than bitzel, since a declaration of hefker will certainly cause the chametz to leave his possession, and if it were the opposite in his mind, it would be considered matters of the heart. So he says you need to fully declare it hefker, not just say the statement of bittul chametz. You don't just need to nullify it, but you need to declare that it belongs to anybody, and that would be the best possible option. So again, why are we doing bedikas chametz? Because we don't want to potentially leave chametz in our home, that even if we nullified it, we would still potentially come to eat it. So we are going to be delving further into the halachos of bedikas chametz, but this is the basic premise, that there are multiple ways that we rid ourselves of the chametz in our home. One of the primary ways is this bedika, is checking our home to make sure we've eliminated the chametz, and this goes along with the idea of bittul, that we then nullify anything that may remain in the home.